Turn, if you would, this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be started. Father, we are glad that we can be in your house this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for a warm place that we can assemble today. God, I'm asking you to speak to our hearts. God, that you would help us to make application where necessary in our lives. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, you may remember, we were dealing with the command that Paul gave the believers there in Ephesus to be filled with the Spirit. That is not an option. That is not something that we get to debate or we get to argue as to whether or not we as Christians should be filled with the Spirit. It is commanded of us as believers to be filled with the Spirit of God. So in light of that, I had us consider this question, am I doing this right? If I'm commanded to be filled with the Spirit, if you're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, we've got to know, are we doing it then? Are we doing what it takes to be filled with the Spirit? And so we spent some time looking at what Paul said was required in order to be filled. And one of the things that he spoke of was this, is we have to subject ourselves to the authority figures that God places in our lives. It is impossible for you and I to be filled with the Spirit while living in rebellion. So if a young person says, well, I'm filled with the Spirit, I just don't want to respect and adhere to my parents' authority, well, then you're not filled with the Spirit of God. You can only be filled with the Spirit of God when you are subjected to their authority. And as we dealt with that, it was last week that we built upon that, because in verse number 24, or 21 rather, actually let's get to the right one, 22, in building upon that, Paul said, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And so we talked about last week how, ladies, you are commanded by God in the Scripture to be submissive to your husbands. That is a requirement of you. And all that meant is this, is that you voluntarily place yourself under your husband's authority, under your husband's leadership. That is essential. That is required. And as we talked about that last week, I also tried to bring this to your attention, that ultimately your act of submission is not to your husband, but it is to God. Because God is the one who set the structure in place. And so if you're rebellious toward your husband, you're not just rebellious toward him, you are rebellious toward God. And so, as I said again last week, a lot of ladies like to assume that they're submissive. They like to tell themselves, oh, I'm the submissive type. I'm the submissive spirit. I'm a submissive wife. And what we often find is this, is that ladies are submissive until they start being led a direction they don't want to go. And then they dig their heels in and they resist and they fight and they buck that authority. And I just want to remind us that that's not submission. Submission is when you voluntarily yield to the authority of your husband, even when you don't like the direction that's being given. And I know that that's not easy, but it's not anything that's going to change. That is what the Scripture says. So with that in mind, we're going to continue on. And ladies, I know that you all have been the center of attention the last couple of weeks. So be encouraged. We are no longer dealing with you ladies. We are going to deal with the men today. But before we get to the text, I want to share just a quick thought. It's a simple story that I hope will convey a point that we'll be able to understand. The story begins like this. Most of you know that my mom is a principal of a private school in Norman, Oklahoma. She's been there for many, many years, and over the years it's grown to a substantial size school. So that in mind, something that I have known for years and something you would understand is this, is that the level of diversity among the families in the school is pretty broad. You have people who just are very basic, normal, common, everyday people who just work and survive paycheck to paycheck. So they're on one end of the spectrum. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are enormously wealthy, amazingly rich, what I would just call crazy, that they get to live that kind of a lifestyle. I'm not jealous of it. I just can't relate to it. So a couple of years ago, one of these families that is extremely wealthy, it was coming up around spring break, and here is what one of their daughters said. This is one of the daughters of this family that is extremely wealthy. She mentioned how they were going to go to Europe for their spring break. That's how they were going to spend the spring break vacation. And then it came to light that they were going to be flying in their private jet to Europe. So as this little second, third grader is conveying this to the teacher, the second or third grade girl, whatever age she was, asked the teacher where they would be vacationing for spring break. And basically, where will you all take your private jet? To which the teacher, who has no concept of that way of living, tried to explain, our family doesn't have a private jet. And our family will not spend spring break in Europe. Our family will spend spring break here in town, just doing normal, everyday kind of things. And that child had a hard time processing, you don't have a jet? They thought everyone had a jet. Now, what's my point in the story? My point in the story is this, is that this young lady, this little girl, had a messed up view of reality. How she viewed things, how she perceived things to be, was not at all how life really is. And this morning, I think you know this, that children have a way of doing that, do they not? They have a way of creating in their minds what they believe to be reality, and it could be fairy tale, it could be far-fetched, it could be so removed from the from the realm of life, it could be nowhere near how life really works, but in their mind, it's true and it's accurate, and this is the way it is. And as children sometimes have a messed up view of reality, so do adults at times. You know, just to keep with the thoughts that we have dealt with, let me just say this, and then we'll move on. And again, ladies, I'm not going to beat you up this morning, but again, it goes back to what we said last week. A lot of times, ladies perceive themselves to be submissive. And the husband is saying, I don't know what universe you live in, but you're not. She perceives in her mind that she's got this totally yielded approach to her husband's leadership. And the man says, you don't. You just don't have that spirit and that attitude about you. But let's be honest, men. Sometimes we live in a world that is void of the truth. In our minds, we live in a place that is not reality. Now, I could illustrate this in so many different ways, but let me just give us a couple of them. It could be illustrated like this. We think we still got it. And somebody's saying, what? You think you still got it? You are old, you got a pot belly, and your hair is gray. If you've got any hair left, you ain't got it. And you ain't had it for a while. But you know, we walk by the mirror and we suck in at just the right time. We're like, oh, yeah, she's still lucky to have me. And she's rolling her eyes going, oh, heaven, help me. We think we got it, and we don't. Sometimes we still think we have it physically, right? Like, oh, I can do that. Oh, that's no problem. I can climb that, I can lift that, I can carry that, I can do that, and then we're paying for it for the next 3 to 5 to 10 business days. Because we don't got it physically either. You understand how this works, right? We live in this world sometimes, men, that it's just not true. This is not reality. This is not based on fact. It is based on how we want it to be. But just because we want it to be does not mean it's so. So in light of the scripture, let's be honest, sometimes we think we're the husband we're supposed to be. We're pretty convinced she's pretty fortunate to have us. In our minds, we are everything that she needs us to be. We are that knight in shining armor. And a lot of times, it's simply not true. And so this morning, what I hope for us to do is to look at what the Scripture says is expected of us as husbands, and then to try to get us to look at our lives honestly and ask ourselves, is this what I am? Is this who I am? Or do I live with this messed up sense of what life really looks like? Do I live with a messed up view of reality? So notice in verse number 25 what it says. Paul specifically speaks to husbands, and he says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Now understand, as we get into this text today, we could be here for a long, long time. So we're not going to deal with all of this, but I just want us to hit some of the highlights. Paul said, love your wives, and I want to remind us of this, that love is always an action that is the result of a choice. Love is always an action that is the result of a choice. Hear me, men, whenever I say this, that our love will always be manifested to our wives in our actions. That is how our love is made known, in our actions, which is the result of our choices. So someone may say, well, I bought my wife flowers the other day. Well, that was good and that was kind, but there's more to it than that. Someone may say, well, I did something really special for her birthday. That's good and that is kind, but there's a lot more to it than that, okay? There's a biblical approach to this that we have to take. So notice what he said past love your wives. He said, even as Christ also loved the church. So men, the command that's been given to you and I is this, is that we are supposed to love our wives in the same manner or in the same fashion in which Christ loved the church. So as we read that, here's what we know immediately, men, we're not going to measure up. How do we know we're not going to measure up? Because Christ had perfect love for the church, and you and I are far from perfect, so we're not going to exercise and demonstrate perfect love for our wives. But just because we are fallen in nature does not mean we're then excused from what is expected of us. All right, men, the call has been given to us and the challenge has been set forth to us that we are supposed to love our wives even as Christ also loved the church. So that is my target. That is my goal. That is what I am shooting for. And notice what Paul said next. He said, and gave himself for it. Paul said that Christ in his love, it was manifested in the action that he gave himself for the church. And friends, that was the result of a choice that Christ made. Christ made the choice to give himself for the church. What does that mean? It means this, that a little over 2,000 years ago, Christ, who is God, left heaven, came to this earth, and died on the cross so that the sins of mankind could be paid, so that whosoever would believe in him could be saved. All right? Christ gave himself for the church. Christ came to this earth, and he died so that you and I, as men and women, could be saved and be a part of what is called the church. Now, in light of that, I want us to think about what is implied in this statement. Paul said that he gave himself for it. There is this implication then of sacrifice on the part of Christ for the church. Are we hearing this? There is an implication, a strong implication of sacrifice on the part of Christ for the church. So if I'm going to love Susie the way that I am commanded to, and if you men are going to love your wife as God has commanded you, then here is what it will require. It will require sacrifice on your part toward her, and that is a choice you have to make. What does that look like? Well, according to the scripture, if we were to take just an absolute literal approach to it, here's what it means, is it means we must be willing to lay down our lives for our wives. And doesn't that sound noble? Are we hearing this, men? If I'm going to take a literal approach to this verse, then what I would have to walk away with in my mind is this, is I have to be willing to lay down my life for my wife. And I'd like to think that I'd be willing to do that. I'd like to think that if an intruder broke into our home this evening and was armed and was a threat to my wife and to our family, I would like to think that I would be the one to step up and to confront and to lay down my life if required to protect her and them. That's what I'd like to think. I think most of you'd like to assume the same of yourself in relation to your wife. I'd like to assume that if Susie was in some kind of harm's way and maybe a car was approaching somewhat out of control and it was about to strike her, I'd like to assume that in my mind I'd be willing to push her to safety and jump in front of the car and take the blow for her. I'd like to assume that. But you know what I'm reminded of this week? Those scenarios and so many other hypotheticals, they'll probably never happen in life. So I'll probably never get tested to that level. The likelihood of an intruder breaking into our home who is armed and trying to hurt our family, it's probably not going to happen. It's not a 0%. It's just not likely. The same thing with a car coming toward her about to take her life. So I could walk away saying, well, I'm good. I think I would if I was ever put into that position. But you know what I'm reminded of as well this morning? That in this relationship between a man and a woman, as a husband and a wife, there's a whole lot more to sacrifice than jumping in front of a bullet or pushing her out of harm's way. And in the realm of sacrifice, here is what I don't like to admit. Is a lot of times I'm quite a bit more selfish than I ought to be. And I don't want to sacrifice me for her. Let me illustrate just a couple of things that came to mind as I was preparing for the sermon and see if this helps. Man, ask yourself if you've been married longer than a couple of weeks. Ask yourself if your wife has ever come to you asking you to do something for or with her that you didn't want to do. Of course, it's happened, has it not? I don't know what her pet name for you might be, but in our house, it would be something like this. Hey, babe, do you mind doing something for me? You know what the response is in my mind? I don't know. It depends. What is it? I will not commit until I know what the request is. So, hey, babe, do you mind doing something for me for just a moment? What? Will you do this? And if I'm not careful, you know what my first thought is? Can't one of the kids do that? I mean, why do they still live in the home? It's not just for free room and board, right? Can't you get one of the kids to do that? I mean, after all, I'm in the middle of something myself. I'm kind of busy doing my own thing. I'm sitting here looking at this on the internet, and I'm trying to decide what the best deal is, and I'm trying to get a hotel cheap. I mean, can't it wait, babe? Do I really need to put that away right now? And can't you get the ladder yourself? Now, I know that that may sound somewhat extreme, but let's be honest, it's really not. A lot of times our wives ask us to do something and it's not what we want to do, and we don't want to sacrifice our time. We don't want to sacrifice what it is we're engaged in and what they're wanting us to do. Oh, that's boring to us. Why would I want to do that? Maybe because she'd like to do it and involve you in it, and we as husbands ought to be willing to sacrifice our time to do what is important to them. Again, let me just illustrate. A wife may say something like this: would you like to go to Amarillo on Saturday? Why would I want to go to Amarillo? Oh, I thought maybe we could walk around and do some Christmas shopping. I thought maybe we could walk around and do some back-to-school shopping. Oh, I don't know. I thought it might be nice to go do some Easter shopping, whatever the excuse might be. And the man says, shopping in Amarillo? Not a chance. Uh-uh. No, you go. Have a good time. Just don't spend too much. You know what she's really saying? She's really saying, I'd like to just spend the day with you, but because that doesn't sound fun to us, that doesn't sound appealing to us, that's not what we'd like to do with our day, we're not about to do it. And kind of like I said last week, how men give up on trying to lead their wives into certain areas. Did you know that there are a lot of ladies who have given up on the idea of doing certain things with their husbands because they have learned over the years their husbands aren't going to sacrifice their time for them? They have made it clear that they don't rank higher than certain activities. If they're doing something the husband enjoys, then the husband will come along. But if the husband doesn't enjoy that, they're not doing it. Oh, but we'd take a bullet for her. Right. You won't spend the day with her in Amarillo, something that she'd like to do, but you're going to die for her? She'd probably rather just spend the day with you and trust that the other might happen if it ever presented itself. See, men get pretty selfish. And they strut around like, oh yeah, she's lucky to have me, but I'm not going to do that. Last week, I asked Susie on Saturday, I said, what do you want to do this afternoon? She said, I was thinking maybe we could sit around and watch old home videos. Can I be honest with you? My heart sunk. I would rather mow the yard than to watch some old home videos. And whenever she said, watch old home videos, I thought, that's the best you got? Anything. I mean, almost anything but that. And it was obvious I didn't want to do it. She said, okay, we don't have to do that. I thought, praise the Lord, plan B, what is that? And then she said, a picnic. And I thought, right, because we are huge picnickers. I'm just being honest with you. A picnic? Yeah, because, again, that's just what we do. We just love to take picnics or do picnics, whatever picnics are. We like picnics. And so I weighed my option, a picnic versus home videos. So a picnic it was. Now, I'm trying to show you something. You know what I revealed in that moment? I revealed I don't want to sacrifice for you. Now, if you'll come up with an activity that is entertaining to me, and if you'll come up with an activity that I like, if you'll go ahead and figure out what I want to do, then I'll go ahead and do that with you. And baby, you know I love you. No, that's not right. If I am going to love Susie, and men, if you are going to love your wife like you're supposed to, you are willing to sacrifice for her. Yeah, well, my wife doesn't care about that kind of stuff. No, it's because she's given up. She knows you're not going to do it, so why even ask anymore? We hearing this? Sacrifice. But it's more than that. Let's be honest. We know a lot of situations, if we look around, where men are going to have their toys no matter what kind of bind it puts the rest of the family in. They'll have this toy, and they'll have this toy, and they'll have this toy, and they'll have this toy. Now you may not be able to spend much at the grocery store, honey, but I got to have my toys. There's no sacrifice in that. There are a lot of men who will do this. Sit around and play games all day and demand that the wife do all the work. There's no sacrifice in that. Susie and I were visiting with a man yesterday, and he was getting near, or he is approaching the age of retirement. And I said, what are you going to do? And he said, man, I got a PlayStation at home. Now, I'm being honest, I don't know what a PlayStation is other than a game console of some sort, but I thought, how pathetic of an existence, sir. You're just going to sit around and play games all day? But honestly, we're living in a world today where men will just sit around and play games and expect the house to be picked up and expect the house to be cleaned and expect the meals to be made and expect the budget to be taken care of. And the man says, oh, I love her. No, you don't if you're not willing to sacrifice for her. Love is manifested in action that is the result of a choice, and it will manifest itself by you and I as men sacrificing ourselves for our wives. Men, when we're selfish, we're not living or loving like we're supposed to. Could we go on for a long time about examples of sacrifice? Of course, but notice what he said in verse number 26. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And again, this is still the relationship of Christ with the church, but this is all in light of the marriage. He said in verse number 27 that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What does this indicate? It indicates this, that Christ, as it relates to the church and his love for the church, Christ is extremely concerned about the spiritual health and the spiritual purity of the church. So if I'm going to love Susie, and if you men are going to love your wife like God has called you to, then something that has to be true of us is this, is we have to be supremely concerned about the spiritual health and the spiritual purity and maturity of our wives. How does that manifest itself? We have to be spiritually in tune with what is happening in their lives and step up and fulfill the role of being a spiritual leader in their life. Men, if we're going to care about the spiritual health and the spiritual purity of our wives, we've got to lead by example. We've got to be godly ourselves. Men, if you want your wife to be godly, if you want your wife to be growing, if you want your wife to be maturing, if you want her to be pure in the eyes of God, we've got to lead by example. This is not something where we allow the ladies to make the decisions and give the direction. No, we've got to lead by example if we're going to love our wives like Christ loved the church. Here are some things that we as men need to make sure of if we're going to care about the spiritual health and purity of our wives. As we lead by example, we need to always make sure that our wives are under the sound preaching of the Word of God. Where a family attends church is not the woman's responsibility. And men, it's not the responsibility of women to make sure we're at church. Come on. Men, step up, take the roles, take the leadership, take the bull by the horn, so to speak, if you have to. Step up and say, we're going to be in church. We're going to be where the preaching of the Word of God takes place. This is not optional. Everything else will be set aside. We'll be in the house of God when it's time to be in the house of God. That is part of you caring about her spiritual development and her spiritual maturity. Man, you got to step up and fulfill that role. If you love her like you should. Someone says, well, that just sounds like a plea to have people in church. No, if you love your wife, the house of God will not be optional. You'll be in the house of God, period. But it's more than that, and there's so much more to it than that. It's things like this. You and your wife will engage in spiritual conversations, and men, you'll have enough spiritual knowledge to be able to lead her in a right direction. Do you know how many men who call themselves Christians kind of avoid spiritual conversations with their wives because it's not a comfortable place they like to go? Men, we need to ask ourselves, when was the last time we engaged in challenging biblical conversation where we were striving to lead our wives into spiritual maturity and spiritual understanding? Now, that's just not really something we talk about much in our life or in our house, in our home. We just don't talk about that much. Well, then you're failing your wife. You're failing your wife. You should love her enough to have spiritual conversations that would provoke, that would challenge, that would motivate her to serve the Lord like she should. Man, if you're going to love your wife and care about her spiritual purity and spiritual development like you ought, you need to know this. Is she in the Word? Does she have her own personal time with the Lord? Is she growing on her own? Somebody may say, I don't know. Well, you ought to know. When does your wife have her prayer time? When does her wife get alone with God and the Word? When is she doing that? I don't know. I mean, again, that's just one of those things we don't talk about much. It needs to be talked about. When is she growing, sir? Now keep in mind, you have no authority to ask her on this subject if you're not doing it yourself. If you're not reading and if you're not praying, don't act like you're concerned about her spiritual health. But if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then by all means, if you care about her and love her, you're going to want to know, where you're reading at, babe. What have you learned lately from the Scripture? What are you praying about right now? If those conversations don't take place in your home, men, don't suggest you love your wife like you should. You've got a messed up view of reality. If you care about your wife's spiritual development, her spiritual health and purity, in the right spirit, have you told her the last time you needed to or lately that you were wrong and you need to make that right? Not trying to preach at you. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm not trying to start anything. Trust me, honey, I'm not trying to start anything, but you were wrong and that needs to be changed. Oh, I could never say that to my wife. Are you kidding? If she's wrong, she needs to be told she's wrong. If she needs to make something right, she needs to be told she needs to make it right. Somebody says, well, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. No, friend, you are the spiritual head. Be the spiritual leader and say, hey, how you handled that wasn't right. But again, if we're not following the Lord, we can't really come down too hard on our wives in that regard. It's things like this. Who does our wives spend their time with? Who's influencing them? What are they reading? What are they watching? Who are they talking to? Who are they following? What has their heart right now? Those are all things that we ought to be aware of. And where things are not right, where things are not what they should be, it is our responsibility to step in and say, that's not what we're doing here. But to sound like a broken record, let me just say it one more time. Men, if we're not what we're supposed to be, we can't step up and tell our wives what they need to be in that area. Paul said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ died for the church. And again, the man says, oh, I'd be willing to die for my wife. Come on. You'll die for her, you just won't give her a Saturday? You'll die for her, you just won't do what she wants to do and sacrifice what you were wanting to do? Oh, you'll die for her, but you're going to not sacrifice any of the budget so that life can be a little bit more comfortable for her? Oh, you'd die for her while you sit on your rear end all day and make her do all the work? Oh, you'd die for her, but that's how much you'll sacrifice for her? Let's not play games. And Christ loved the church so much that he wants it to be spiritually healthy and he wants it to be spiritually pure. Men, if we are not actively engaged in the spiritual life of our wife, if we're not actively engaged in the spiritual lives of the ladies, listen, if that's not able to be said of us, let's not pretend that we love her like we should. There's no excuse that can satisfy us not being involved in the spiritual life of our wives. There's no excuse that can justify it. So men, we may walk through the house, pass the mirror, suck in at the right time and say, oh yeah, she's lucky. Yeah, she's blessed to have me. And you know what she might be thinking? I wish you'd just spend some time with me doing what I want to do. I've been doing what you want to do here and here and here and here and here and here. I'd like you to just spend some time with me doing what I'd like to do. Why don't we just admit it? And we might think she's real fortunate to have us, while spiritually she's not at all what she ought to be, and we're not even aware of it. That's not love, men. Love is when we sacrifice. Love is when we care about them spiritually, and obviously so much more. But we know this. This is enough to keep most of us challenged for a while. Are we loving our wives like we should? And let's not just assume that we are. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Fathers, I come to you this morning. God, I pray that you'd help us to be honest before you. And Lord, I pray that as we're dismissed, that we as men would be wise enough to not make light of this. There is no doubt some ladies in this church who have given up on ever really spending time with their husband, doing what they'd like to do because their husband has made it clear they don't care. God, would you help us as men to not take that lightly and to be a lot more sensitive to what our wives might care about and what we need to be willing to engage in? God, would you help us to not take lightly the fact that we need to be involved in the spiritual lives of our wives? Where there are too many men just floating through life, they're not spiritual themselves and they don't even think about it for their wife. God, I pray that you'd help us to understand that responsibility that we have. I pray that you'd bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.